The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
So again, these talks on the first two of the nutriments, edible foods, and sort of what that means in relation to the body and sense impressions. There are talks, right, that have been recorded and they're on the web, so I won't go over them. But it's really very profound teachings coming from the Buddha and really enlivened by Thich Nhat Hanh, who saw the great relevance of these teachings to the modern age. So, our body is physically consuming, and again, wholesome, unwholesome, through the senses. We are consuming through the things we see and smell and taste and hear and feel. Wholesome, unwholesome, they nurture different things in us. And we need to be aware of that, of criteria. Right? Because we often, again, it's like somebody who eats food and then has a stomach ache and doesn't see the relationship between what they ate and how they feel. Right? And oftentimes, that's something because it's concrete, like food, is something that can become more obvious to us. But often, the results of the things we consume with our minds, we don't see the cause and effect relationship that clearly. So we may feel a certain way, think a certain way, right? React a certain way. And we're sort of clueless to why that's occurring. But it's occurring because we have been consuming consciously and unconsciously our whole life. Now, the third nutriment that our minds consume is called volition, right? Intention, aspiration, desire, right? It's sort of like all the things that go on in our mind that are sort of consciously motivators for our action. Right? Volition. And that which we are moving toward is conditioning our mind. Right? The things that we desire are conditioning our minds. Right? Our minds, in and of themselves, are sort of like a blank slate, we might say. But our mind and our mind states and our thoughts, feelings, perceptions develop through this lifetime, if not lifetimes, of consumption. That's why we have the mind we have. But a lot of that has to do with, again, where am I directing the energies of my mind toward what? What is really present in my mind as aspiration, as will? Where am I directing my life toward? And again, we might say there are things that are wholesome and there are things that are unwholesome. There are kinds of aspirations that feel good and that lead to a stable mind. And there are all kinds of aspirations and intentions that lead to the opposite, unwholesome, unstable, unsatisfactory. And so again, rather than being lost in this kind of unknowing about why we have the mind we have, when we begin to look at it in terms of the nutriments, in the same way, many of us learn to look at the quality of our body and our health in terms of, you know, what we're putting into it. And again, for those who have been coming a while, you know that I, when we did our body, I very much described it as a vehicle, like we have vehicles. And how well we take care of our vehicle, then what we put into our vehicles has a lot to do with the quality of how our engine is running. Right? In the same way we do with our body, but most importantly, we do it with our mind. So, what is our aspiration in this life? Where am I really putting my volition, my will? What do I want? What's sort of consuming it? Let me open it up. What are things that people, what do they want in this life? They want comfort, many people. That's want comfort, security. That's their aspiration, to be comfortable and to be secure. What else could people want in this life? Acceptance. What else could people want in this life? Connection, happiness. Esteem. It's funny that this is a psychologically sophisticated group. How about things like money? I realize in the sanctity of the meditation hall, we shouldn't be bringing up such a thing. How about money? Right?
Chocolate.
How about chocolate? How about a good job? How about a good relationship? How about, right? How about success? Fame. God, now we're getting real here. I mean, all right, good.
Pleasure.
Yeah, pleasure. Physical pleasure. Sensual pleasure. Ooh, yeah.
Power.
Recognition. Peace of mind, value. Yeah. So, can you see? Lots of aspirations, lots of intentions, lots of things that we want in life, lots of things that we desire. Right? But the kind of desires that we have in our life are conditioning the quality of our minds. Okay. Can you see that? If you always want, let's say, money, and more money, and more money, then you have to be what? Very focused, very concentrated, very deliberate, perhaps even consumed with what? Making money, holding on to money. I mean, money, right? I mean, whatever it is, if our main aspiration is to get people to recognize us and see us as an important person or a valued person, then we're putting a lot of energy in all our relationships and throughout to kind of make that happen. Right? I mean, think about those kinds of things in your own life and how much energy. I mean, how much energy did you put into your aspiration to get an education? Right? How much energy do we? I mean, how much energy do we put into, having a career, maintaining a career, training a career? I mean, that's a lot of energy that we put into these things. How much energy do we put into relationships to maintain, to get them? First, people put endless energy into getting them. Once they get them, they put a little energy to hold on to them. Right? Right? I mean, so, does everybody understand volition is very important? Now, if our direction in terms of our volition and our aspiration intentions is always external, having to do with external things, having to do with other people, what's the problem in that? What's the danger in that? You can lose yourself, yeah. But it's really out of our control, isn't it? It's out of our control. So a lot of those kinds of will, you know, a lot of those things that we're putting our will, our intention, our aspirations really means the energy of our life toward are fundamentally unsettling and unstable. Because we can't control it. Right? It's beyond our control. Whether people will love us is beyond our control. Whether people will like us, value us, think we're worthy is beyond our control. A lot of economic forces and business forces and work forces are beyond our control. Right? So there's an inherent instability in that. There's an inherent capacity for that which is pleasurable to become unpleasurable. That which is stable appears stable now to be unstable tomorrow. That which I have today, I may not have tomorrow. Somebody who's treating me one way today may not treat me that way tomorrow. So can you see the fundamental instability and anxiety in having a life that is always predicated on getting something outside myself? Or being externally driven. Now, if we would ask people whose fundamental drive in life is to make money, have status, have things, if we would ask somebody whose primary purpose in life is to have as much pleasure and fun as they can, right? If we ask people, you know, in life, primary thing is to get everybody to like them, love them, stay with them, never leave them, you know. If you ask them all these things, and if you said, well, if you got all that, if you got that all lined up, what would that give you? Then what? And they would say, what? Then I am what? Then I'm happy, right? Then I'll be happy, right? I mean, there is an end game, isn't there? Right? You know, there is an end game for all this work. And the end game is, well, then I'll be happy. Or then I'll be what? Then I'll be at peace, right? I won't have to strive anymore. Or then I'll feel good. I'll feel, you know, secure, right? If I get all these things. So it's very interesting that even the people who are most driven by getting things, material, psychological, emotional, they have an end game. They want to be happy. They want to be at peace. They want to feel good. Is that clear? So what if you skipped all that work, and went to the end game? You see? Let's say you're kind of lazy, you know what I mean? And maybe a little smart. You see, you go, I gotta do this, I gotta jump through that hoop, 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 and then when I get to the final one and I get the cheese, then I'll be happy. Right? Then I'll feel good, then I'll feel secure. Then, you know, what if you skipped all the hoops and go, is there a way right now that I can find happiness, that I can that I can find an essential way to feel good about being me, that I can feel stable? You see what I'm saying? And you made that bigger, process your aspiration. Or how about, I want to be a good person. How about that for an aspiration? I want to be a good person. I want to be a kind person. I want to help people. It doesn't matter what I do. Even if I'm, I work in Walmarts, I want to help people. Right? It doesn't matter what I do. I work in a convenience store. I just want to be helpful to people, be kind to people. I mean, see, most of the stuff that people talk about in terms of our society are like end goals, right? It's like something, it's a goal, you know, like everybody says, well, what are your goals in life? Anybody know that? And you're supposed to have what? Short-term, medium, long-term, you know what I mean? What's your goals in life? You know, what do you want to get? And the whole mentality behind that is you work, and then you, out here, you get something. Everybody know that one? Yeah, that's the way the world operates. But the thing about kind of having an aspiration in the way I'm talking, it's like something you can get right now. You see? It's something you can do right now. You can manifest your aspiration right now. It's not something you get out there. It's something you can be manifesting day to day, hour to hour, moment to moment throughout your life. It's something that informs you. It's not something outside of you. And I think that's important that, and I think that's what this third nutriment is saying. Yeah, we are in the world of desire. We have to energize, you know, unless we're going to sit on the couch all the time, right? But if we're going to enter life and be energized in life, you know, what energizes me, right? And can I be energized by thoughts and feelings and emotion that are fundamentally nurturing and wholesome and that I can realize right now? I want to be a helpful person. Well, I can do that right now. You know, I mean, I could always begin with what? I could always be, you know, begin by being helpful to myself, even though no one else is around. You know, am I doing things with myself that are kind, that are helpful? Right? So I don't have to wait, do I? And most of us do run into other human beings now and then. Some of us live with them, some of us work with them. You know, we encounter human beings all the time, right? So we have this capacity all the time to manifest our aspiration to how we want to be in life. Right? I mean, we can have an aspiration like, I want to be mindful and present. How about that one? I want to learn to be present. Not always lost in the past, not always thinking, worrying about the future, not always judging and evaluating every human being and situation. I just want to learn how to be present. I mean, that's an aspiration that we can manifest right now. I don't have to wait. Yeah, just wait. So this third nutriment of aspiration, intention, desire, again, I would ask us, and I want to take a little time now to meditate on, because I think it's so important. Because oftentimes we never begin by even just asking ourselves the question. You know, if I look at my life, What really is motivating me day to day? Many people are motivated by fear, right? They're always looking over their shoulder, you know, if they're afraid of something, right? Or they're looking toward the future with fear, so they're always, you know, kind of constricted and tight and vigilant because they're afraid. Many people are motivated by anger. A lot of these days, anger. Get back at something. So to look at this whole quality of, you know, what really motivates me in my life? I mean, honestly, it's not like we're dishonest. I don't say like honestly, like we're dishonest. But I think we often don't just stop and reflect in this way and ask ourselves honestly, what is my motivation in life? And again, I think if it came down to it, we would say things like where we started out today. You know, I want to be happy, I want to be safe, I want to be secure, I want to feel good, or, you know, I want to be you know, all these. I think that's very human. But I think on the other hand, if we then ask ourselves, well, if I look at my mind, you know, all day, is that what's motivating me? Right? I mean, we live in such a sad society that many people, I think, would say, especially on the weekend, what motivates me? Getting my to-do list done. Right? You know, that's, if I can get to the end of my to-do list by this weekend, I'm a happy camper. I'm not saying we all have our to-do list, but it's just interesting when we stop and ask ourselves, what's really motivating me every day? Why do I go to work? Now, many people will say, well, that's an obvious one, right? I go to work what? To make money, pay the bills. I mean, that's true. But that's kind of, okay, so you get a paycheck at the end of the 2 weeks and you can pay your rent and you pay your mortgage and you buy the food and make the car payment. But that's like an end. But like, as you go through your day at work, what's your aspiration about how you want to be? Do you want to be happy? Right? You know, do you want to be happy at work? Do you want to be at peace? Or do you want to be agitated? You know, can you see? So it's not predicated on these rewards. Right? And we are very much a society which is all about getting rewards. And that's often the motivator. But I think what we're talking about today is that kind of motivation, I think, is fundamentally unsatisfying. Because what happens when you get the reward? You feel good for how long? Well, you work hard. You get the reward. Right? You run the race, complete the race, you get the certificate. How do you feel? You've been working really hard. You completed the race. You got the certificate. How do you feel right then? Great. Do you feel as great tomorrow? No, that's the problem. You still might have the glow as you tell people about it, right? So the glow may continue, but we can't keep it going. See, that's just the truth. It's not like there's something wrong with us. It's gone. And so therefore we have to then do what? Yeah, you know, when's the next race? Right? See, that's that whole, again, there's nothing wrong with it. But as a fundamental aspiration for one's life, it's fundamentally unsatisfactory because it's always got to be renewed. You always got to keep yourself revved up. You got to always have new goals, new objectives, new. Anybody ever work for a company or a place where every year the question always is at your evaluation time is what for the next year? Huh? What are your goals? What are your objectives? Well, again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that intrinsically. But I'm saying it's fundamentally, can you see why it's fundamentally unsatisfying to live that way, especially your own personal life that way? Any questions about or comments on what we just talked about? Yes.
So you're talking about curiosity in relation to reward, and then maybe think about school.
Yeah.
You find a lot of times I have to read in school with all sorts of subjects that by the end of the paragraph, I forgot what I read because I was so bored to death. What's a good step to cultivate curiosity?
Well, what are you reading? Give me an example. Like, what bores you to death?
It's a neuroscience book on drugs and how stimulants impact your mind.
Gee, that sounds fascinating. Well, yeah. What did you say? What's your first name again?
Ryan.
Ryan, that's right. Yeah. It's not that fascinating to me. Now, do you want to be stuck with that? Or do you want to go, since, I mean, it sounds like this is something you have to do. It's part of your curriculum. So you sort of think there you are in life. See, many of us are in life. And we're there. You know, it's like, again, you know, if you're stocking shelves in Walmart, I mean, let's say there you are, right? Now, you may have a, you know, you may want to be moving on sometime in your life, right? But tonight, where are you? Stocking shelves, how can I get interested in what I'm doing? You see that? And there's a way. First way is to become interested, which is interest is a mindset. It's not a given, right? I mean, where's Alex? Alex, neuro, I mean, Alex is probably will be asking you afterwards for the reference, right? Right? Now, what's the difference, you see? Why is one person go, well, that's fascinating, I'd love to read that, and Ryan's going, boring. You see, how do you turn on? How do you learn to turn on that switch, Ryan? That you have interest or curiosity in what you're reading. Huh? I mean, think about it. How can you do that? I would imagine there are things that you're interested in, things that you read, that half the people in here would say, boring. And you would say, what? Fascinating. There's nothing intrinsically boring in what you're reading. Boredom is a state of mind. It is the opposite. It is disinterest. And what we're doing in meditation, like learning to, you know, I mean, as I say, my six-year-old grandson finds meditation boring. He has no interest in it. Now he's 6 years old. He can get away with it. But if this is something for your career or whatever that you want to learn, then you want to be able to be in control of your mind and so you can manifest interest in it. I mean, it sounds like this could be an area of neuroscience that you're not an expert in and know everything about. Right. So maybe you could get up some enthusiasm for learning it and really, you know, begin to, I mean, there are ways we can work with our mind to create interest. Right? You know, and, you know, is there a reason to understand any of this? There is. What is that? What would be a reason to be interested in this information, Ryan? Yeah, there you go. Are you interested in cultivating new habits in school? I mean, can you see it doesn't take that much for you if you look at it this way to begin to go, oh yeah, there's a solution here. And I could become interested in it. Again, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be reading this stuff for pleasure years down the road. You might. But it's like our life unfolds in the present. Nowhere else, right? You know, when you are studying your text, that's your life. Sorry. You see? You see, this is the great problem we have. You see, that our life is unfolding in reality. You know, and we could imagine another reality, you know. You know, you could imagine a place, something else you'd rather be doing, you see. But that's only doing you a disservice, because it's making it even more difficult for you to study. So that's why when we talked earlier about we need mindfulness, is not just like breath in and out, it's learning to be mindful and present to our minds. Why? So we can see what's going on. And in this case, you can see, I mean, you're in school. You want to graduate. You want to do well. You want to graduate, you want to do well because you think it may lead or help whatever you're going to do afterwards. There you go. So therefore, what? find interest, because this is your life, right? I mean, if you're bored, disinterested, you know, all that, that's all those afflictive mind states, whereas, you know, that's only creating suffering for yourself and also preventing you from absorbing, obviously, something that may be of benefit to you. So, you know, this is what I often say to people, you know, it may just be, you know, breathing in, breathing out, but you're going to learn a lot about yourself if you're mindful, right? You'll see all the tricks your mind does rather than being present and just accepting the reality of what's right here. Okay? So the kids will be in soon. Why don't we do, I know it's, we usually don't do it when I'm here, but I want to take advantage of it. We don't need to break into groups. The kids will be here in 5 minutes. So just close your eyes a second. And just relax. And ask yourself first if I look at the reality of my life day to day, where is the world of desire for me? What am I desiring day to day? What am I wanting day to day? Now, this is not the ideal, okay? This is in the reality of our life. Just on, you know, where is my, you know, am I just trying to get through the day? Is that my, you know? Trying to make it to happy hour? I mean, what is the... you know, but just kind of, just spend a moment, just relax, and just open your mind, ask yourself, you know, what really, in the reality of my life, what is day to day, week to week, month to month, where is my aspiration? Where is my desires? What am I wanting? And just kind of be willing, again, we're not going to share it, so you don't have to, this is just for you. What really motivates me day to day? Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I do what I do? What's my mind state as I'm doing it? What am I trying to get out of all this? Again, if I'm honest with myself, sort of looking backwards, kind of looking at what's actually going on. And just see what comes up. And now, just let that go. And now, almost like it's another screen in your mind, ask yourself, but if I really stop and for the moment see the big picture of my life, what are my, what are my big aspirations in life for life, for me, for the planet. You know what I mean? Like, what's my big aspirations? My big desire for my life, the life of those around me, the world. You know, whatever you take it as big as you want. So on this screen, it's kind of big picture, deep. What's my kind of overarching aspirations, intentions for life, for myself, for those around me, the world? And now what I'd like you to do, I know, I mean, you can do this at home, is see them sort of split screen, but together. You saw this kind of based on looking in the past, sort of your real life, day-to-day goals, aspirations, how you live, you know, how you conduct the whole deal. And then look at these big picture ones and see, are they the same? Is there a connection? Or do they seem like two different screens? Are they congruent or are they sort of incongruent? When I look at my day-to-day conduct, my day-to-day desires, the things that are motivating me day-to-day, do they have any relationship to these overarching ones that I have for myself in life? Are they congruent or are they really discongruent? It's like almost like two different people. Or can you see connection, interconnection? Or you may see some of both.